Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The debut show for Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. Matt Spiegel, Lawrence Holmes.
We are happy that you're here. The mob, I'm supposed to meet them.
Hey, mob. Mob, this is Lawrence. Lawrence, this is the mob. The afternoon show mob, they're there.
Take this call.
Okay. You're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Lawrence, coach. I got to go right now. I'm not available, and we'll catch up on Thursday, okay?
Thanks, love coach. You, coach. We are going to have some fun on the afternoon show. Kurt Warner.
Just reserve, your opinions. Until either you get a chance to watch it deeper, if that's what you do, or you get a chance to listen to somebody who actually does watch it deeper and can help you develop that opinion outside of, what you see in that little box.
That's a wonderful time for us to jump in and say goodbye and then ask for some phone calls from people who watch the game. Kurt, thanks, man. Appreciate
all right,
you,
guys.
Kurt.
Talk to you next week.
Let's go to Nathan.
First of all, congratulations on the new show. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score, and not just kidding.
Funny guy! Right here!
Hey, Joey, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Really thankful for you guys taking my call. I hope this is the most depressing Monday for the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Thank you.
Only up from here. I think maybe your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era for the Bears.
God hopefully. Love you. God but, love you.
Let's go out to Cedar Lake and let's talk with Pat. Hey, Pat, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, Lawrence, really quick. I just want to say I'm glad you're back. I'm so glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show. I'm pumped about that.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, you know me, Matt Spiegel. And now this is Lawrence Holmes. Holmes, my new partner. This is our new show. We are your new Monday pals. So say hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Lawrence. And Jalen, thank you so much for what you do for the station. You're always great.
Jalen, are you muted? He is.
He's muted.
There we go.
Now we got you.
Bringing your rookiness to me. Lawrence,
that's on me, man. That's on me. I take that.
This mute button is so huge. You got to get that mute button turned on.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
A really good day one, and we are excited about what happens on day two. It's Spiegel and Holmes. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks, you guys, for so much for listening and hanging out with us and being so kind. Thanks to the mob as well for all of their love over the last 24 hours.
The nascent days of the radio show coinciding with the early days of the group chat. Group chat vibrant. Group chat happening. Sports conversation at night. Interesting. Everybody, we're feeling each other out. How early is too early? How late is too late? These are the questions that have to develop.
I'm trying because I'm really into just like throwing sports thoughts into the chat.
You like sports? That's weird, man. It's weird, frankly.
I actually really love sports, which is, the whole reason why I made this the career and everything.
You're not used
radio.
To working with that.
Yeah. So,
Did I say that out loud?
You did. It was not in your head.
It was a mistake.
So I felt bad.
Did we not
bad.
Learn from yesterday about not, just like starting on the right foot?
Not one damn bit.
None of your businesses, respectfully.
Respectfully. I'm just trying to see how close I can get to burning it down in the first 3 minutes of every show.
Well, you're doing well.
Tune in tomorrow.
Or don't.
I may be here.
But we prefer that you do. But last night, I'm sitting there watching the game and Tanny got out of here pretty quickly, and I was like, yeah, that's my fault. And then, Shane got out of here pretty quickly yesterday. I was like, yeah, that's my fault. And so I'm like, should I leave the guys alone? Because it's dinner time.
Sure.
You guys get to get back with their family, like all of this stuff.
Trying to figure out if we're going to be friends or just coworkers. There's a lot of things going on.
Absolutely.
Dude, always swing into the office. I was there till 6:30 last night.
And then...
I was.
You were?
Yeah, I was here till 6:30 last night.
I was there till like 12 minutes after showtime. That's late for me. That's a lot.
And I did apologize. It's not a great look to leave immediately after show one, but I did have to pick my daughter up. So.
That's sure. Inexcusable, but I was here like 90 minutes after the show.
He had to pick up his, air quotes, daughter.
No one's ever seen her, but I keep talking about her.
So when I'm watching Trevor Lawrence, I went for a walk. When I got home, I'm walking. There's the I live not too far from the Xfinity store in Hyde Park. And I'm walking past the Xfinity store, and the game's on. Uh-huh. And I'm just watching Trevor Lawrence throw the ball to other people. And I was like, I don't want to watch this for the rest of the night. This is horrible. And then the other game started.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow had me in front of the TV going, ooh, offensive innovation.
Yeah. Well, And Jaden Daniels, three different fourth down conversions. The one from the Cincy 39 with 5.5 minutes left to convert on that fourth down. That's such a ballsy call to try and put the game away. And then it leads to the touchdown that we talked about in transition. And just the way that offensive line is talking about him, our old friend Nick Allegretti on Jaden Daniels. It's shocking how composed he is. It's just the situation is what it is. What am I going to do? Panic and ruin it? He's not like that. Get 11 in a huddle. Let's call a play. He's as composed of a rookie as I've seen. The guy's stressed. Everyone else tightens up. He may not be doing it on purpose. His composure composes the entire offense. They're all in love with their quarterback.
That's a good thing. Allegretti was instrumental in keeping Jaden Daniels safe last night, too. He made some movement blocks that you go, oh, that's why he's there. So dude, watching Jaden Daniels go to work last night, I think has a lot to do also with the, I don't want to say simplicity because that's the word that the that was used in talking about the way this offense goes. But he and Cliff Kingsbury so far have figured out how to make this thing work immediately, and that's good. And now you'll see if they can build on it and grow on it once there's more tape.
Bears angst is 3 feet high and rising.
Shout out to De La Soul.
It is because the coaches on this team, on the Bears team, did not make the right, incredibly obvious adjustments going into week three. And so now we wonder if they even have it in them. And then you see Jaden Daniels being this after 3 weeks. We'll talk about Justin Fields in the 4 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Malik Willis getting developed and turning into what he is by Matt LaFleur this
Bo
quickly.
Nix having a good game this past weekend as well.
It is not a good moment. I don't like it, and I regret where we are.
I don't think that you're alone in that, and it's something that we are going to explore on the show. We appreciate you hanging out with us, by the way. 312-644-6767 is the number. If you want to text us, that's cool. If you want to hang out inside the chat on Twitch, you can do that as well. We're going to take a break. You want to know why? Because on Tuesdays at 2:30, we talk with Nico Horner. So we're going to talk with Nico about a lot of stuff, and not just Cubs stuff. There's some big picture baseball stuff that Spiegs wants to get to that I think you should stick around for. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball on the score.
Leaning on the second baseman, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so funny.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Ruiz hits a ground ball. Backhanded by Horner, goes to second one. Swanson to first. Double play. What a play. Nico going up the middle, backhand of the ball.
Here's the 1-2, bounce toward the middle.
Backhand diving stop by Horner, throws him out. What a play. There's the defensive gem of the game. Beautiful play by Nico Horner.
Line drive caught by a leaping Horner. Throw to second, and they double up Wilson. What a play. That ends the top half of the sixth inning. What athleticism by Nico Horner.
Talk about some ups. And then quickly flips over to Dansby. His response is a round of applause, and why not? Just spectacular stuff from Nico Horner. That's how you win a gold glove right there.
That is magnificent.
Nico Horner
with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
Speaks, you ever have an artist that you slept on, and then you found out that you actually really love that artist?
Frank Ocean. I missed Blonde the first time out by Frank Ocean. About like 6 years later, somebody played it for me. And I was like, what the hell have I been doing? And I went down deep with him.
Inside of the open that Tanny put together for Nico Horner, who we'll talk to you momentarily, Mac Miller is that guy for me. Like, I didn't get it. And then I really started listening to Mac Miller. And now I'm like all about Mac Miller, but unfortunately he passed away. So we won't be getting any new music from him, but being able to listen to his entire catalog and some of the stuff that he did with Anderson .Paak, and you're just like, man, this guy really had a thing. I'm like that with E-40 as well. Like every time I've listened to E-40, I'm like, why am I not into E-40? And so now I'm getting into E40 and Mac Miller.
I don't know E40, so you'll turn me on to it.
Well, we should ask Nico. Bay Area guy, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, huge in the Bay Area, E40.
Yeah, I never see this is why having Chris Tannehill around and available is a good thing, because we can bounce all sorts of stuff his way.
Mm-hmm. Got that.
There are a lot of other things that make it bad to have him around. You're going to learn it soon. It's just a lot of things. Publicly, people believe he's like this squeaky clean, very easy to work with, but he hits me. He hits me.
I don't like that.
Yeah, he hits me.
I don't like that.
We're not on Zoom the whole time, and you know why.
I think many of our listeners would be like, I could see that.
Yeah, I get that.
I get that.
If anyone deserved it,
well, yeah.
That's so not the victim blame, but if anyone deserves it.
Well, it's because of how I dress.
Your Honor.
But if
all due respect, Your Honor, but Shane was asking for it.
He's going to start hitting you at some point, and you're going to understand, damn, now I don't know what I've been saying for the last 15 years. But
what is this guy? Ostrowski? When Ostrowski used to produce me?
I learned it from watching him.
Hey, man, that's one way to get somebody to break on time, you know? I will smack the crap out of you.
All of a sudden, a shoe comes from outside of the studio, and it's Ostrowski.
Yeah, Spies, because asking nicely for a decade clearly doesn't work around here.
Clearly doesn't work.
Yeah, it's been refreshing with Lawrence, like from Danny, because Danny would just look right through me.
Oh,
I'm not going to break. I got thoughts.
Shane, content is king. Content is king. If we're rolling, you just have to accept it.
All right. Tell that to the ratings. When I give you a break time, it's because it's for a reason.
Where does the ratings have an office? I'll go talk to them. Excuse me, ratings?
Well, the ratings is on a hybrid schedule. So they're here Tuesdays and Thursdays sometimes when they want to be, and then they leave at 3 to
their
go have wine.
The ratings are not enormous. You'd be surprised how small the ratings are.
There are times when you do want to just keep going because – you or your partner, like you're on a roll and things are great. And then there are other times, the more I listen to Shane, because Shane would come in when I was doing middays and be like, look, idiot, why don't you guys break when you need to break? And I'm like, well, we're trying, but we weren't trying as hard as maybe we could have.
Yeah,
tried.
No, we could try harder. Look, there is no limit to the professionalism that you and I could work with if desired. Like, this could be the most professional button-up. You know, like Cliff Floyd was talking about the Brewers saying that's a button-up team.
Yes.
We could be a button-up radio team if we wanted to be.
We could, but I did think it was interesting when all three of you guys were like, because, you know, I'm kind of known for being a little rigid when it comes to doing radio. And you guys are like, so what about the fun, Lawrence? Is there going to be any fun on this show?
Lawrence, are you interested in fun?
Do you like fun? And I'm like, I love fun.
Well, as long as we're giving up secrets from the group Zoom on Friday.
Lawrence didn't assign a day or a source to it, so you didn't have to say that.
Well, have you not met me, Shane? This is how I roll.
People inside the score saying it.
Apparently.
Staffers.
I asked Lawrence directly. You guys were there. You remember this. Lawrence, what can we bust your balls about? What can we go at you about? Because it's not, I haven't heard that a lot necessarily. And on this show, we're used to being very mean to each other to a point that it feels like love.
But it might be abuse.
It's borderline. It's right there on the edge. So I want to make sure that we don't hurt each other's feelings here on day two of the new show.
And Lawrence, I believe the verbiage from me in that meeting was, how do you feel about the F around? How do you feel about the F round? Not the fun. We know you're going to bring fun.
Is that Nico?
But how do you know? It's not Nico. This is very unlike Nico. Okay, Nico. I think he got traded again.
Yeah, he traditionally will call the phone. I know. And then pop on Zoom.
I just want to mention, like, you have great thoughts, but if Nico's calling, I'd like you to stop those thoughts and talk to Nico.
Are we having, like, time zone issues with everybody today?
I'm not sure, but I did tell Nico that you were replacing Danny, so maybe he just said, absolutely not. What Ian Happ has said about that man to me is inexcusable.
That's a good point. I mean, I did talk with Nico in the hallway when he was in here with you guys. He's delightful. We had a nice chat.
Yo, he's a delightful man. We've got tremendous regulars.
Yeah,
you
this
know?
Is not adding up. Are staffers saying that Nico doesn't want to talk to Lawrence? Is that what's happening here?
The staffers are saying that, yeah. The staffers are saying that.
Just don't call him Holmes, all right? You can call him Lawrence.
There's all sorts of names that I can be called.
Nico's at Bally's Casino right now.
is that where he is?
He's 7 hours late from Mike Rizzo's curfew. Oh, man.
I feel like that's players tough. Probably don't care about that. It's one of the things that we would have asked Nico if he were available.
Nico makes up for it. He'll be sure here.
He will.
So look,
fine.
You saw where they sent CJ Abrams, right? It made me laugh. Single A, not triple A or double A. They're like, who's still playing? Who has the worst accommodations? Where can I send somebody? And they sent him to single A. The Orioles, by the way, sent Eloy Jimenez to triple A today. I believe it's Jordan Westberg who's coming back from a rehab assignment. So they traded for Eloy to rent him for what, 7 weeks?
I mean, he did okay, though. Like, good for Eloy that he was a, and he definitely did a number on the White Sox when they played against him. So I'm happy for Eloy. It's possible he ends up with a World Series ring this year
by
being a member of that organization. You see what Jason Hayward did. He's got the double dip opportunity.
If the
Dodgers or the Astros win a World Series, he's covered.
That's amazing.
It's really great.
CJ Abrams, and you're part of the Nationals organization, wouldn't you rather go to Wilmington, Delaware, their single A, over Rochester?
Close?
They're like, I don't want to go to
Rochester, New York.
North New York.
I think it's quality of hotel and bus and buffet spread. I think higher in AAA than single A. Hayward, they traded for Hayward for weight room speech, right? I mean, so the Astros have that going if they need it.
If he wants to hit, he can do the speech with a garbage can and then maybe they'll totally get what he's saying.
All right. I know we're spraying all fields just a little. Mm-hmm. But that's an A.J. Hinch reference. You see what A.J. Hinch is doing with the Detroit Tigers,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, at some point when – I don't know if there'll ever be a point where we can really get into Tigers baseball, but we had on middays, we had Jason Benetti on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about – and I know that you've done a lot of reading on this – the way that they've gone about bullpen days and bullpen starts in Detroit.
They've used – since they traded away – Jack Flaherty, right? They've used 52. They've played 52 games. They've used 11 different starting pitchers. They've used the most starting pitchers in MLB. They've also had the most wins in the American League in that time and allowed the fewest runs in baseball in that time. Like the creative ways you dreamed of Craig Counsell using a rotation and a bullpen, the creative ways we dreamed of Madden doing stuff when he came from Tampa Bay, A.J. Hinch did it in real time with the Tigers and led a massive charge that's going to end up with them in the playoffs. Amazing.
It's so wild, too, when you start thinking about the sliding door aspect of this, because who's the manager that Rick Hahn wanted to hire?
Yeah, his name was on the press release.
And it didn't look good for a while there because things were so bad in Detroit. But now you see like the organizational creativity that's going on in Detroit with A.J. Hinch at the helm as the manager. And you go,
yes.
Oh, that could have been a thing that happened here instead of
all of
us waiting for them to lose the record-setting game.
Mm-hmm. Texture says, by the way, is the new afternoon show going to feature Lawrence? Because that's going to be freaking awesome if he's part of the mob. He is part of the mob. This is the show. This is your afternoon show, people. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score, which is pretty awesome. And I got to say, yesterday, my wife and child picked me up downstairs after the show. And I had pre-made some meatballs I was going to cook for them when I got back because we had a short show yesterday. And we needed Parmesan cheese. I was like, can you make a quick stop at Trader Joe's? And my wife's like, no. They took me out to dinner.
Hey, now.
To celebrate our new show.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Armand's Victory Tap over there in the South Loop.
The best on Michigan.
Great place.
The best. Good meatball.
Really good meatball. I like their pizza.
Like right off of Cullerton, right? Like Cullerton and...
Yeah, on 14th, like right across from the firehouse.
That's right.
Which is
no,
another
right.
good spot. Another good spot.
Great spot.
But yeah, like...
You been to Izzy's place yet?
No, I haven't.
Izzy Adonijay's place over there on Michigan Avenue is pretty awesome.
It's a... Is that THC, is that place?
No, it's a like restaurant.
Oh,
bar.
Izzy's. Oh, it's not on Michigan. It's on Wabash.
It's brand
Wabash,
new, right?
You're right?
A few months ago,
it's on
yeah.
Wabash.
It's good. Signature, I believe, is the name of it.
Real quick, how do you guys feel about CM Punk right now to replace Nico?
Let's go.
Let's
can
go.
We pivot
let's
to Punk?
Go. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, Punk is in the Zoom. Taney's got an open for him.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
His mere presence brings about a chorus. His name to be chanted over and over. CM Punk!
Lockport High School's CM Punk. Most famous Lockport alum. I think it's between you and Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. How about Ron Coomer? Our guy, what? Ron Coomer. Yes. It's probably Punk. I think you got it, man. So
somebody's reading Wikipedia.
It might be true. It might be true. Busted.
Thanks for having me on here.
You got it. Was that an insult to me when he calls me out for reading Wikipedia?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. That sucked. Yeah. So worst moment, me getting called out for reading Wikipedia or Danny asking him if he's ever drank out of the cup.
We have a lot of things that he was great.
I appreciate it, Nick. I'm sorry if I'm a little snippy. I'm hurt and I'm old and I'm tired and I work with children.
See if Punk is back where he belongs. And that's on top in WWE.
I'm at the point in my career where sometimes people ask me, how many matches do I have left in these old bones? The answer is way more than you think. The only way to end this between Drew McIntyre and myself is in a hell in a cell.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
No one brings a guest onto the air better than Chris Tannehill. Talk about an open. That's how you do it. That's how you bring CM Punk onto the Score airwaves. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Matt Spiegel, Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball. And CM Punk is here with us on the Score. Punk, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And yeah, you're right. That was a hell of a score you guys put together there to intro me. I appreciate the good music.
Yeah, when you called me out for looking at Wikipedia last time we talked to you, that is now become part of the lexicon of this show. Anytime I look up anything, Tandy will just
reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, there it is. Your voice accusing me of reading Wikipedia is part of what we do around here. So
that's quite all right. You're just doing your research
on the air live, which is very important. We want to talk with you about a lot of stuff, including everything that's going on with Chicago sports. But I got to serve the wrestling fans that love you and love what's going on with Drew McIntyre. How's it to work with a guy that's bringing so much heat and you guys seem to be working really well off of each other?
I think people enjoy like a good rivalry. I think Drew's a piece of shit. So it's, asking me like what I think.
Dump him.
You're good. Go ahead.
It's kind of a loaded question. You're not going to get me to say anything really flattering about him, but yeah, it's like a good car crash. I understand people like to watch that. They like to watch a good blood feud. I like when the Blackhawks play. Well, they don't really play Detroit anymore, but say, I don't know, Minnesota. Yeah, I like when the Cubs play the Sox, a little crosstown rivalry. So I get it.
Well, one more, and then we can get into the White Sox, the Cubs, and everything else. What was it?
You don't even want to talk about wrestling. Put NXT over. Let's go.
Punk, trust me. I really want to talk about wrestling, but I know that's a small portion of the audience. So I wanted to ask you, what was it like for you to see Jey Uso put a title around his waist?
It was super awesome. I was excited about it. I don't like to know what's going to go down on the show. I like to watch it and be surprised. And last night was a huge moment. In Jey's career, and I was happy I was able to be there and watch it live. There's a huge difference to me watching wrestling or sports in general, like on TV or actually being at an event. You know, going to Wrigley Field is church, right? I can sit on a couch and I can watch a Cubs game. It's not the same as being there. The atmosphere, the sights, the sounds, the smells, everything. And it's the same thing for wrestling. That crowd last night in Ontario, California, sold out, hanging from the rafters, great energy. And I universally don't think I've ever seen a crowd so unified in wanting one person to win a championship like that. It was a special moment.
CM Punk is on the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score. You mentioned NXT. If WWE is the NFL, NXT is college football. It's the first time NXT is going to be broadcast in its 13-year history. And next week, October 1st at Allstate Arena,
Punk, you're going to be part of that NXT broadcast debut. Are you psyched about it? And what do people get if they go?
I'm very excited about it. Well, if people go, they get me in Chicago, and I always try to be a variable. I always try to bring the excitement and the little bit of unknown. You never know what's going to happen when I'm in the Allstate Arena. And you kind of laid the foundation right there. It's college football. So you get to see who's going to be the next superstars on Raw and SmackDown, the future main eventers of WrestleMania, guy like Bron Breakker, who wrestled Jey Uso last night, you know, came up through NXT. I think I read a stat one time that 90% of the people on both nights of WrestleMania last year are NXT alumni. That's pretty wild. And I think the college football pipeline to the NFL or even college basketball or anything, I think all those systems are exactly what the idea behind NXT was. And to see what it's become and how far there still is to go, I'm just excited to be a small part of what's going to be the launch for the new era for everybody in NXT.
Very cool. Hey, Punk, your TV show Heels with friend of the show,
yes,
Joel Murray. And
yes.
Coming to Netflix now, the people can watch it. Heard you were a great ad-libber as Ricky Rabies. You were beloved by the showrunner and more. More acting in the future for Punk?
Tons, actually. I'm pretty busy right now doing stuff, but I don't like to necessarily talk about stuff until it gets announced. But it's been a hectic month for me. Being a kid from Chicago, getting to sit next to Joel Murray and get told, yeah, just say whatever you guys want. and me and Joel trying to one-up each other with, funny comments, doing commentary for the television show. What a pinch me moment.
So, yeah, Murray Brothers, obviously royalty, and now you as Chicago royalty, and yeah, Chicago sports, dude. We're freaking out about the Bears. Are you freaking out? Should we not freak out? We were told this was going to be different. Granted, we were some of the people telling people it was going to be different. It does not feel different. The offense is bad.
Nah, let me ask you a question. Who owned the Bears in 1987?
The McCaskey family.
Who owns the Bears right now?
The dysfunctional McCaskey family.
Yeah, so who's the problem?
I think a lot of people feel exactly the way that you feel when it comes to that. My hope is that
it's because I'm right. I'm 100% right. The stuff doesn't change. Look at look what the Blackhawks did. You know, the instant, you know, he had to pass away, unfortunately.
Yes, he did.
But when Bill Wirtz died, I swear the next day it was a different franchise, you know, like, and it's just the way it is. Like the Bears in 85, 86, they should have been a dynasty. They should have won 2-3 Super Bowls, and it didn't happen. And you can point your finger at head coaches and quarterbacks and, scouts. I don't know. But after a while, after decades of this, it's just like McCaskey.
You're 100% right about the Wirtz chain of succession. And it really brings us to the White Sox and the Bulls, too. Oh. How do you, as a sports fan, how do we, you know, rationalize rooting for death? It doesn't feel good. Rooting for ownership death doesn't feel like a healthy moral place to live.
I really like what some of the leagues in European football do, where if you're on the bottom tier, you get relegated to whatever the league down is. So I think the Chicago White Sox should just become a AAA organization. You know, I don't know if the Bulls are there yet, but I mean, the Sox certainly are. When the best thing about the Sox is the social media guy, like, yeah, it's time to wrap it up.
It's funny. We actually have a segment about that so very true. Thing later on in the show. Punk, Seth Rollins falling out of the crowd in Indy. Was that a work or a shoot, or did he work himself into a shoot?
Probably a little bit of all three. That's where he belongs, though, falling on his head in a football stadium somewhere.
He's another one of the giant Bears fans that are around. So are you finally
– How is he a Bears fan? He's from, like, Idaho or something like that. Like, what's going on?
Are you pulling his fan credentials?
I'm not pulling. Listen, you can be a fan of whatever, but I don't know if he's of that generation where he like saw, maybe he just likes the colors. I really don't know.
I don't want to be
a gatekeeper. I think everything, you know, like everybody's a fan of something. Plus, I think it's funny that he's so miserable that the Bears stink.
What would be the title in this town that gets you going, Punk? Which team winning a title next would hit your sports fan heart?
I can answer that for Punk. He wants Connor to do his thing and end up with a title. Connor Bedard to end up with a title.
Well, I mean, at this point, who's going to win it first? Is it going to be are the Cubs going to get back into contention, or is it going to be the Hawks? You know, like the Hawks are still obviously in a rebuild. Everybody's stoked about Caleb Williams and the Bears, but it's the same situation with Connor Bedard. You have this once in a lifetime generational talent, but you still got to build around him. You know, it wasn't just Jim McMahon on the field in 85, you know, like it was a team so rich with talent that you wind up forgetting almost 2, 3, 4, 5 like Hall of Fame football players while you're naming like the top guys.
The man's career is in full bloom. He's got TV shows on Netflix, more coming. He's at Allstate Arena on the first with NXT.
He took his dog to take your son to work day, which is great.
I did. Yeah. He had a good time, too.
And it was awesome. Punk, we really appreciate you jumping on the show. Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to October 1st at the Allstate Arena.
Yeah, I hope to see you guys there. I appreciate the time. Much love. I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, man.
That is CM Punk. That's how you kick off a show. Shout out to Shane. That's a hell of a pivot. We're supposed to talk with Nico Horner.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened.
And
then Shane was like, well, how about we just move up CM Punk? And then we have that from CM Punk.
And the irony is that next week at Allstate, Nico Horner also will be wrestling, which should be freaking awesome.
Yeah, he's wrestling me right now, the way I feel about Nico in the moment.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he and I are wrestling.
That dude's been money all year long. Something happened.
Stuff happens.
With a time zone. It's Philadelphia.
It's totally fine.
I wonder if Nico stayed out there to watch the Phillies celebrate last night.
It always hurts when you have to watch another team celebrate.
But you're supposed to watch it.
Yeah.
And observe. Yep. Think about it.
There are things that you can learn from it. What about the Bears? Let's get back to it. Jason Leisure is going to join us next, and we'll ask him about some of the decisions that were made. Remember that CEO of the sideline conversation we were having yesterday, Speaks?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We should talk with Jason Leisure about that. He's got thoughts.
Let's see what's up his.
We'll do that next here on The Score.